Welcome to Tahoe Project. I'm your host, Michelle Sweeney, and this is part two in the conversation with Robert Larson, staff scientist at the Lahontan Regional Water Quality Control Board. So, Bob, we were just talking about partnership and conversation and how if there's any dramatic change in the relationship between you as regulatory agency and the implementing agencies of the TMDL, being the counties and the municipality, that it's marked by there's more dialogue, that they're informing how the regulation is implemented, and you're taking the information from them and putting it into sort of the playbook. Now, does that make it easier for everybody to achieve water clarity goals, or does it up the ante or up the tension?
I don't think it's up the tension, but it certainly hasn't made things any easier. I think reducing pollutant loading to Lake Tahoe is challenging, and a lot of the low-hanging fruit, if you will, the easy projects that we could build, the big treatment basins in the areas where we had opportunities with a lot of available land, a lot of those were already implemented in the 80s and in the early 90s when there was a lot of federal and state dollars in place. We're in a different economic climate now, and also faced, I think, with more challenging implementation situations where we're trying to deal with stormwater where it's closer to the lake, where there are maybe larger volumes of stormwater. So I think the challenges in front of us are probably just as, if not more, difficult. That said, I think the regulatory structure and the dialogue that we're having with our partners now is, if anything, easing the tension in that we're in a position now where we can more easily acknowledge the challenges that they do face. And rather than putting them in a position of perpetual noncompliance, which was sort of the situation before where they had no real opportunity to meet the permit requirement, it was not something that was realistic for them to do, we're able to set up more realistic goals and targets for them from a regulatory perspective that motivates people to do things. And also, again, we can have a more informed conversation about what those options are, what we think we're going to get out of those different actions, and then how does that fit into the regulatory structure. Again, if we have an understanding of what we can do, what we're going to get from it, then we can set regulatory targets that are more reasonable, that everybody's more comfortable with and has a better understanding of what they can and can't achieve. And I think that conversation has been informed by the TMDL and has certainly changed sort of the face of our regulatory relationship with our partners.
So what are the kinds of actions that the jurisdictions are undertaking now, and are those actions different from the actions that they were undertaking for water quality purposes, 10 years ago? And is that difference dramatic, totally different actions, or are they nuanced differences like better performance?
It depends on the jurisdiction. I think in a lot of ways, a lot of the approaches that we've been implementing for the last 20 to 30 years are really on target. Infiltrating stormwater is really the best way to deal with stormwater. It mimics the natural environment. It mimics the processes that were in place before we put all the pavement and rooftops on the ground. And that approach has been in place and implemented over the last 20 or 30 years through the regulatory environment, as well as, again, the different funding opportunities that were in place also pushed those type of opportunities. And I think we're still seeing where those opportunities exist. We're still seeing those type of infiltration BMPs being implemented. Private property BMPs, for instance, probably aren't going to change much. What the TMDL has shown us is that roadways, in particular the state highway system and some of the other high traffic roadways, are a disproportionate source of those pollutants that are influencing Lake Tahoe's clarity. And that has sort of opened the door to a number of different opportunities to discuss how we manage our roadways. We apply a number of traction abrasives to the roads to ensure safety in the winter, and how we apply those traction abrasives, what type of traction abrasives we apply, what is the surface of the roadway composed of, is it breaking down with what frequency, and how can we better manage all of those variables to reduce the amount of those traction abrasives and roadway products that actually make their way into the stormwater. I'd say that is pretty revolutionary, or at least new and different in how we're managing stormwater. Roadway sweeping, for instance, we're seeing that the way that roadways are managed on the Nevada side of the lake, they have very high pavement integrity in some areas and have an opportunity to implement sweeping practices that have been really effective at reducing pollutants to the lake. So those type of ideas are making their way around the lake, and everybody is thinking more critically and creatively about how they can manage their roadway system, both in the summer and in the winter, to deal with traction abrasives and deal with roadway breakdown and reduce the pollutants that are coming off the roadways. So I think that focus is probably the biggest shift that we're seeing.
So give me the visual on this. The big realization is the roads as the source of fine sediments to the lake. And a lot of those fine sediments, as you just said, are the result of our sanding the roads for public safety and snow conditions, ice conditions. So the kinds of fine tuning that you just referred to have to do with the removal of those fine sediments before they get broken down and transported to the lake via storm drains, essentially?
It's also the frequency, type, and application rate of that material.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, again, we saw that the city of South Lake Tahoe, for instance, used to apply a volcanic cinder that broke down very easily and was very difficult to pick back up once it was on the surface. So switching to a different type of material, they've found that they can better get better traction with that material when it is applied, as well as pick that material back up in an easier way once it does dry out. Caltrans has been instrumental in testing different types of sand from a variety of different sources to figure out what's the most durable and what can both meet the public safety needs as well as some of the water quality needs. So that's one side of the coin, and also trying to be more judicious about application. Maybe it being more the pavement sensors in Nevada, for instance, monitor the temperature of the pavement to figure out when is it freezing, when is ice potentially forming, so you're not just indiscriminately applying traction abrasives when they aren't needed. You can actually be more thoughtful and creative about how the material is applied and where it's applied. Where it's applied and where actions take place is another big shift, I think, in terms of making sure that we're doing things where it matters and where there's actual connectivity to surface water. So when we are applying traction abrasives, maybe it's more important to pick them back up or sweep areas where there is a storm drain that leads directly to the river or the lake nearby, as opposed to maybe an outlying residential neighborhood where traction abrasives can maybe sit on the roadway a little bit longer because there's not that direct connectivity. So there's certainly a prioritization of when and where and how, and then there's the removal, which again, the sweeping technologies are improving all the time, primarily from an air quality perspective is what's been driving it from a technology picture, but that same technology can be used to pick up those fine sediment particles. And so implementing programs of more frequent street sweeping and using better equipment on the ground and then targeting that street sweeping to where it matters.
This is part two in the Tahoe Project interview with Bob Larson, staff environmental scientist at the Lahontan Regional Water Quality Control Board. Thank you for listening at tahoeproject.org.